Well, as I shared with you earlier, following this week, my cell phone's a lot quieter. I'm happy for that. I'm not getting texts every 2 minutes. Because, you know, a preacher's phone, our phone rings and buzzes constantly. I'm always getting calls from people, and I welcome them. I've told you that many times. The only time you're going to see me upset is if you don't tell me something's going on in your life, and we need to be praying for you. But it's happening all the time. Well, it was constant, as I'm sure it was for all of you, text telling me what I should do, who I should vote for, all of those things. The phone at home isn't ringing near as much that we have to hit delete and block and all of those things on the phone. The 2024 election is come and gone. And the fact of the matter is, regardless of whether the outcome of the various races, both national and state, whether they went the way you wanted them to or not, it still should serve as a reminder that we as Christians are called to pray for our nation. That's a part of our civic responsibility. God calls us to love and to be supportive of the people around us. And that also means those people that we don't agree with. I mean, there was a time not all that long ago, many of you probably can remember, they would have presidential elections and all these things, and you really didn't know that much about it. You knew it was happening. But the live debates and the constant things on television, I mean, of course, we're inundated with all of this information. Much of it I don't even want to hear because it's hard to believe. I mean, let's face it, we lost faith in our government. Probably like no other time than after 1963. That was a time when it's, for a lot of people, it changed. We trusted those that were elected to take care of us. And then suddenly we began asking questions. And even as those questions continued to intensify, even as we began to see things being made public of those people that we wanted to trust, God's word remained the same. That does not change. Neither does God's command for us to pray for those that are in authority. But the question is, what do those prayers sound like? How do you pray that way? How do you pray for an entire nation without just speaking some general words? I mean, do you pray state by state? Do you get out a map of the, I almost said calendar. Do you get out a map of the country and go, okay, today I'm praying for Oklahoma, and tomorrow I'm going to pray for West Virginia, and I'll pray for Florida later because they have beaches and I'm not praying for them a lot. And I'll pray for all of the, I mean, is that how you do this? That's kind of blind, isn't it, when you think about it? Do you pray for a politician and against another one? Is that the way that we're supposed to pray? Let me ask you this. Do you think God even cares what happened to this country? Because let's face it, at every turn, we have been trying to get rid of God in every way we possibly can. Has God just wiped his hands of us? Well, I can tell you without any hesitation that God does care about this nation because he cares about you. He cares about what is taking place in the world. He cared about his people, the nation of Israel. And by the way, because of the line of Abraham and because of Jesus Christ, we are grafted into that same line. So the same way that God cared for the nation of Israel, he cares for you. He cares about this country. He cares about every country around the world. And he commands us to pray for our country and for our leaders. And to pray regardless of the politics. Now listen, I am not suggesting that I'm going to stand up here and say that and you're going to go, okay, I don't care about the politics. Yes, you do. I do too. I care about where we are being led as a nation. But most of all, I care not about the particular political party. I care about how are they holding to the truth of God's word. If it's a policy, regardless of who puts it in place, that goes against the God's word, I'm not for that. I'll stand against that because this is the absolute of our lives. This is what we follow. Amen. So how do you pray? Now, I know that each and every one of us would like to believe that our hearts are pure when we pray. Tara, yours might be. But we pray thinking that I want the best for everyone. I want those things to happen in a way that are good and pure. But I think we also all know that it's not that way, because our hearts are not pure. We are forgiven. We have the Holy Spirit, which is greater than the one that's in the world, but there is still that sin nature that we battle with. Paul says it's the spirit against the flesh in constant battle. He said, that's why I do things that I know I shouldn't, and I don't do the things that I know that I should. That's your spiritual battle. Now, don't be looking at me all pious like you have no idea what I'm talking about. What are your struggles? What do you deal with? And see, for some folks, they get so enmeshed and immersed in the things of particularly this time of year with all the politics that it affects the way that you act. It affects the way you think. For some people, it affects the way they sleep. It affects their personal relationships. These kinds of things have brought division to families, and that's not what God's called us to do. So there's only one source, though, that I think we can pray that's without error. It doesn't come from our minds or our hearts. The only source that we can pray is the Word of God, because the Word of God is faultless. It is pure. It is right for all times. And because of that truth of God's Word, we should pray the Scriptures. You've heard me encourage you to do this many times. When you're dealing with something and you don't even have the words, God, I don't have the words for what's going on right now, pray the Scriptures. Open to the Psalms and be encouraged by the Psalms. Pray the Psalms as David did to God. Let it be an expression of your heart. But I want to give you this morning four ways that you can pray for our country using the infallible Word of God. Four ways for you to pray for this nation as a Christian. Here's the first one, and I've already said it, but it's what starts. Pray for the leaders and the authorities. Pray for them. And do it by name, even if it's hard to say the name. I understand. But we have done that here at Remnant Life. We do that regularly. We pray for our nation. We pray for the president and the vice president. It didn't matter whether I voted for them or not. We pray for them, because that's what God calls us to do. This is Romans 13:1. Paul says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, what is it in that verse that may be a little bit of a concern for you? It's the fact that God has put those people in place. Nothing happens without God's okay. His sovereignty is always involved in the things. Now, there might be some of you thinking here going, you can't tell me God meant for that to happen for 4 years. You can't tell me that God meant for this administration to be elected. Whatever side you fall on, I'm sure that you're thinking, if it's the opposite, you're going, God could not have been involved in this. He missed this one. He was looking at Afghanistan when we were doing our election. He must have. But see, that's not true, because God is in all and everything. And this, my friends, is where our faith in Him must rise beyond what we think and what we feel. See, there should never be a Christian screaming at someone about anything political. That's not where you belong. There should never be a Christian who is involved in those things that do nothing but bring division and sow hatred. That's not where you belong. You say, Pastor Dave, does that mean that I have to agree? Oh, I didn't say agree. I said we should not be involved in those things that bring division among people or bring us to the place where we are speaking negatively about someone that God has sovereignly put in place. Now, some of you aren't liking this, and that's okay. You know, I love you, and if you got a problem with me, take it to my administrative assistant, Mr. Booth. All right, go talk to him. Big guy over there, if you don't know who that is, go talk with him. And his adjutant sitting down at this end. You see, that's what it means to trust God. Trust and faith in God is not about those things that you can comprehend, those things that you agree with. Trust and faith in Him is all of those things that, God, I don't get this. I don't understand why things happen the way that they do, but I trust You. I trust You, God. Because again, what you must always remember, God's never caught off guard. God did not wake up Wednesday morning going, never saw that coming. Wow. God's never surprised. God is never overwhelmed or shocked. And see, when Paul and Timothy were ministering to the church in Philippi, they wrote them a letter later on, and this is what they said, Philippians 4:6. They said, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving. Ooh, thanks. I'm supposed to be thankful for this stuff? Present your requests to God. Can you honestly say you live that way? How many of you live every day without any anxiety, no anxiousness at all? Come on. Go ahead. You're lying. If your hand's up, you're lying. We all struggle with anxiousness, don't we? We all have those moments when we're just not sure what it is that's going on, how things are going to turn out. Why is this happening the way that it's happening? But I can also promise you this, because the Bible tells us not to be anxious, what we just read. If you allow anxiety and worry to be a constant part of your life, you are opening yourself up to a world of hurt. Emotionally, mentally, even physically. It's been proven physiologically that constant anxiety, constant worry, even anger and unforgiveness have an impact on the physical body. I know a couple of people that walk like they've got 160 pounds on their shoulders when they're walking. And it's not because they're that old that they have to walk that way. It's because they have unforgiveness in their hearts. They have constant anger. They're always worked up, always anxious about everything. And yet we are promised that because God loves us, we don't have a reason to be anxious, because He's in control. And see, remember I talked earlier about being undone? That's what it means to be undone. I'm not going to embrace the anxiousness. You say, Pastor Dave, does that mean you never get concerned? I didn't say that. Does that mean you never have any anxiousness? I didn't say that either. But it is something that I continually am turning over to God to say, Father, I trust you. And see, when you are obedient to the Word of God, which means that we pray for those that are in authority, you are aligning yourself with the will of God. You're being obedient to what He's calling you to do. And then Paul also writes to Timothy. And this is Timothy, you have to remember, Timothy traveled with Paul. He was his, kind of like his apprentice would be the right word for that. But Timothy also became then a young pastor. And he was pastoring a church in a place where there was great influence of pagan religions. So Tim was in a tough place. But here's what Paul wrote to him. This is 1 Timothy 2:1-3. He said, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, take out kings, put in president, put in vice president, put in Congress, whatever it is, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Father. Last thing I'll say about this first point. In this verse, you see so much of what is important for us to live as Christians in this nation. First of all, you pray for everyone. Not just the people you like. Not just the people that you voted for. Not just the ones that let you and say good things to you and they're encouraging and all. You pray for everyone, he tells us. And then it says, pray for those in authority. Again, not just those that you support. We pray for them. What is it we pray here at Remnant so many times? We pray that God would bring change to the halls of our government. That the Holy Spirit would come and to return justice and righteousness. Ooh, good segue, Pastor Dave. Thank you. Because that's the second one. Pray for justice and righteousness to return to our country. The first one is pray for those in authority. The second one, pray for justice and righteousness. You know, that's one of the major themes of the Old Testament. If you love reading the Old Testament, and I do, I enjoy preaching the Old Testament, I love it all. Because the Old Testament, you know what the theme of the Old Testament is? Jesus is coming. That's the theme of the Old Testament. Every bit of it, Jesus is coming. And in the Old Testament, the writer of Proverbs, the wisdom books, the writers of the prophets and all of that, they all talk about the righteousness of God. And see, my friends, I don't think you have to be told this, but there's not a lot of righteousness in this country right now, at least not from our leaders, because we are doing things that are taking away the goodness and the justice and the righteousness, and we're turning it into something where we are calling those things that the Bible says are evil, we're calling them good. And then we're taking the good things that the Bible tells us to do, and we're calling them wrong. We're calling those things that we should not do. See, that's what it means to have justice and righteousness to come back. Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns it. And see, my friends, that's a truth that we have to live with today in this nation. Again, that was Proverbs 14:34. It's a truth that is still important today, and it's one of the reasons why we are called to pray. God calls us to step into that gap, to be the one that wants to make a difference by calling on the name of God. That's why I encouraged many of you not to get yourself so immersed in all of the politics that go on. There's only so much talk radio that you can listen to until you begin to have a mindset that's taking you away from the things of God. I'm not saying you bury your head in the sand. Again, I encouraged every one of you to vote. I think that's very important that we are a part of that process as a child of God. Don't we want God's children to be heard in those decisions? I know you're going, some decision, you know, wow, is there good in any, you know, how do we look at that? But what is important is that we recognize and understand that it is our responsibility. That as a child of God, I want to sow peace where there's discord. I want to sow harmony where there is division. I want to sow the seeds of reconciliation with people that don't want anything to do with me because I don't vote for the person they vote for. And see, you can see that on both sides every single time. There's no one innocent, no one at fault. Everybody is a part of that. Can you be different? Can you be someone that can be willing to say, you know, hey, you know what? We're not going to get into all of this because it's just, it's too destructive. I was talking with a lady this week who called me and said that she was so upset because she and her daughter were dealing with that. They were so divided and really upset. And she said, I'm terrified I'm going to lose my daughter. I said, you know, sometimes you just have to go, no more. We're not talking about this anymore. Why? Because I don't care? No. It's because I love you too much, and you matter too much to me. Your love and my love for each other are too important to have it be taken away by something of that nature. Again, church, we don't remove ourselves, but we have to use wisdom, godly wisdom. Micah 6:8, again, another Old Testament prophet. He said, he has shown you, O mortal man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a tough thing to do today, isn't it? Especially when it's hard to trust the things that have been put in place to help protect and guard us. I know you struggle with what you see with our justice system today. There are a lot of things there that should bring some concern. That's why we pray. I'll never forget, I heard the story. This was an organization that actually helped us to start Remnant Life Church, helped us with all of the legal part and all of that. But in one of their things they sent out, they said, you have to be careful because of lawsuits and those types of things. And they said there was the story of the woman that was in the grocery store, and she came, was walking down the aisle, and one of the jars was broken and there was liquid. She slipped and fell and hurt herself, and she sued the store for her injury. Later, they found out it was her kid that had knocked the bottle onto the floor and broke it, and she slipped and fell. Her kid did that. Another time, a story of a man that was trying to break into a restaurant, and he fell through the suspended ceiling onto a cutting block, and he cut himself with a bunch of knives, Clayton, and he sued the restaurant because he hurt himself. He was trying to break in. You know what the horrifying thing is? Both of them won their cases. I mean, you're kidding me, right? So there are a lot of things that are not the way that they should be. There's wisdom that is missing in a lot of that. That's why we need to pray. Here's the third thing. The third thing you want to pray for is to pray for unity. Pray for unity. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 25, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. You see, folks, the fact of the matter is division's easy. Disunity's easy because it means you can do whatever you want to do. I don't care what anybody else has to say. I'm not giving in. I want what I want. That's easy because that feeds into the flesh nature of who we are. But see, that's why also why Satan loves division. He loves that. Satan loves to divide families. He loves to bring disunity and division to churches. He loves to divide people over the government, over race, over finances, over everything you can possibly say. All of the division that's taking place in this country right now, Satan is in love with every bit of it. He loves it. And that's why you need to pray. Because it appeals to the flesh part of us, doesn't it? If I don't have to do what someone else wants me to do, if I don't have to give in, if I don't have to compromise what I want, then that's good. It appeals to my flesh. But that is the thing that brings disunity. And see, not only pray for unity within our country, but pray for unity within our churches as well. Because see, we need to be an example. We need to be a demonstration to the people around us of unity. People often ask me, why is Remnant Life a non-denominational church? And that's a great question. Because obviously denominations, man, you got all these people helping you, and you got finances, and you got all kinds of supplies and buildings and all kinds of neat things like that. Well, my answer to that has always been very simple. Because we want to create here at Remnant Life a place where as we enter into heaven, it's not going to be any different because we're still going to be united. There's no Baptist section in heaven, church. There's no Methodist section, no Presbyterian section, no Catholic section. We're all going to be at the foot of the cross on level ground, sinners saved by grace. Amen. I'm going to be on my face in front of the throne. I don't know about you. I'm not lifting my head new. I am just, boom, I am on my face before the throne in front of God's glory and power and might. Talk about the fear of the Lord. That's what that means. But see, we're not anti-denominational, but you know how denominations all began? By division. By splits. I don't like what they're doing. We're going to go start our own thing over here. There's a preacher over here we really like. We're going to go listen to him, and now we're going to start up our own thing over there. There were no denominations in Acts chapter 2, folks. They were all just worshiping Jesus, loving one another. And see, that's what I believe God's calling the church to be. But we need to pray unity within the church. We may not do things exactly the way those folks up on the hill do. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It doesn't mean we're right. It doesn't mean they're right and we're wrong. We do things differently. That's okay. What I want to know is, what does every church say about Jesus Christ? That's what I want to know. That's who we'll partner with, are those churches that say, listen, we're just here to worship God. It doesn't matter whether you dunk two times forward and three times back, if you sprinkle them, if you hit him in the face with a wet washcloth. It doesn't matter. You say, now wait, didn't Jesus baptize by immersion? Yes, he did. And so that is what we follow as well. But if somebody doesn't, it isn't about physically what takes place. It's about what's happening in the heart. And see, church, that's what God cares about for his people. So we are praying for our leadership. We're praying for justice and righteousness. We are praying for unity. And the fourth thing that we're going to do is that we pray for revival and for God's will to be done. Pray for revival and God's will to be done. We already talked about that part of it. But revival is an interesting word. I'm sure if you're a Christian or if you know anything about church history, you've heard about revivals. And there have been many across the world throughout history that have been incredible for the growth of the church. Let me just give you a quick definition, because maybe you don't understand what that is. A revival is an extraordinary work of God where Christians repent of their sins as they become intensely aware of the supernatural presence of God. That's an earmark of a revival, where people are coming and they are just falling on their faces repenting. I I read a story, an account of a preacher that a revival broke out at a church where he was ministering that week. It wasn't planned, and revivals are not planned. We call them revival services, but when a true revival comes, it isn't something that's planned because the Holy Spirit depends on when that happens. He's the one that determines that. But this guy said he was preaching. He said there was no question that the power of God fell in that church. People were on the ground weeping. Ministers, pastors were coming up and confessing sins to one another and to the congregation. And he said, I looked out and I saw three guys trying to crawl out of the building because they were so overwhelmed by what it was that was taking place. It was a supernatural power. People were being healed. You say, Pastor Dave, why doesn't that happen more than it should? I think this is the reason, because we don't pray. Because we don't ask God for that. We are so concerned with keeping things just kind of nicely contained. Now, we're a little less contained here than we are at many churches. I'm sure the first few times you came here, you went, wait a minute, the dude's stopping in the middle of the service and we're going to eat a meal? How does this work? Are we calling in pizza? I don't see that anywhere in here. Where does it say get a pizza from? So I know we're a little bit different in some of the ways that we do things. But when we ask God for revival at this church, there's an unknown that takes place. You see, that's what needs to happen in this country. We need a repenting of sin to take place on a national scale in this nation. We need for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to come to bring the power of healing. And that's why I so love, and with this I'll close, the verses read in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And as I look at Susan and Chris, I remember that there was a banner back at the back of Yoakumtown Church. It was on the left-hand side as you face the stage, because I read it every time that I was there. It said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them their sin, and I will heal their land. You see, church, that's the formula for this nation. That's what's important for this country, that we turn from our wicked ways. So how does that start? Where does it begin? Right here, by praying for our country. So we are going to continue to do that. When President Biden was president, we prayed for President Biden. We prayed for Vice President Harris. Now that there's a new administration in, we're going to pray for them by name as well. It does not matter who you voted for. It doesn't matter who I voted for. We're going to be obedient to the word of God. It's our only hope. It's our only hope, church. It's not a new administration. It's not more money. It's not more programs. It's nothing that we are being told by those that are in those positions. That's not what's going to change this country. The only thing that's going to change this country is a sovereign move of God. And we need to be a part of that. So wherever it is that you are, whatever church that you normally attend, those that are watching online, whatever church you're at, pray for this nation. Pray that God will bring change. Pray for those in office. Pray for justice and righteousness. Pray for unity. Pray for revival, and that God's will be done. My friends, I'm hopeful for this nation. And now I'll admit to you, I'm a glass half full guy. Those of you that know me know I'm always on the bright side. If I step in horse manure outside, I figure I'm getting a pony later on in the day. Something like that. So I'm hopeful for this nation. I'm excited about the direction we're going. It doesn't have anything to do with who's in the White House. It has everything to do with who's on the throne. And that I know is my Lord and Savior. So be encouraged. Be a light in the dark place and pray for your nation. Let's pray. Almighty God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that we can pray your word because it is truth. It is infallible. And it is timeless. And so, God, I pray, work in our hearts. I know this might be tough for a number of folks here today. I know, God, because it's so emotional. Everything that had been going on, there's so much going on. But, Father, I pray, don't allow us to have that take away what is most important. And that is that we live as an example of what it means to be a child of God. We live as an example of someone forgiven. And God, that's not going to be easy. Because the other people that we don't agree with, whoever they are, they're not probably going to act that way. And yet you still call me to stand with kindness and with love. And sometimes, Father, that means I'm going to need to walk away. Sometimes that's going to mean I'm going to be hearing all kinds of things said about me, names being called. But Father, when we consider that Jesus endured the very same thing, Lord, we know that you're greater in us than the one that's in the world. So I pray that strength over each and every one of my brothers and sisters. I pray, God, for kindness and gentleness over each and every one of us. I pray, God, that the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in us because of Jesus. And so go now with us, God, I pray, protect us, guard us, and as we come back together again next week, I pray, Father, that we will just be so hungry to be with you, to be with one another, and in all of this, we give you all the glory and all the honor. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the name above all names, that we pray this together. Amen. Amen. Amen.